appropriate. So I've been doing Galatians, for those who know about that, working through the book. And today we're just doing a few verses and going back a bit into history, into Genesis, because that's what Paul's talking about in the next thing. So you're going to have to sort of catch on as we go, but I'm sure you will. And of course, all the messages are on the website if you need to catch them up. So just before we look at the next part of Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 is where we're going to start. I just want to explain a couple of words that we're going to hear throughout this message. The word justified or justification is a word that will come up, and it has come up, and it will keep coming up. And it's important that we really understand what this means. So justification, it's a legal term. It's a forensic term. And it simply means to make a declaration or a proclamation to declare someone as righteous. In an ancient courtroom, if you were tried, there were two verdicts that would be handed down. Either one, you would be condemned, or two, that you would be justified. So it was a proclamation of a verdict given. So when God justifies you, he is declaring you righteous. He proclaims you righteous or as right before God and as a righteous individual. Now, so proclamation or a declaration, that's justified. And understand that justification doesn't just make you righteous or make you a good person. It proclaims you righteous. Declares you righteous. And it's important to know that. And here's why it doesn't make you righteous, because by yourself, you're not righteous. And I'm sure you all know that to be true. And if you don't, then someone closely related to you will probably know that. So, because we still mess up, don't we? We still blow it, we still get it wrong, we all do. However, you are being made more righteous all the time. And that's a process that's called sanctification. So after you are justified, declared, proclaimed righteous, then comes the sanctification. And that's a process where we grow and we mature. Sanctification refers to a process of being cleansed from sin and progressively transformed into the likeness of Christ, which is, as a Christian, we grow, don't we? I mean, we think differently than we used to. We have different values. We love certain things that we might not love before, like praying and reading our Bible and things like that. And we hate things now that we may have loved before, sin. And because you love less, you sin less. Doesn't mean that you're sinless, but you do sin less because you are conscious of those things. So justification is that God looks at you, proclaims and pronounces, declares that you are righteous, and he treats you as you are righteous. Isn't that beautiful? He treats you like you've never sinned. So God treats you like that. And perhaps that's a good way to break the word up. Justified, just if I'd never sinned. And that's how God sees you, just if you'd never sinned. So just to clarify those words as we're going through. So last week we went from verses 1 to 5. We're going to start at verse 6 today. And I'll just read that to start with. So Paul here is speaking to a group of churches known as the Galatians, and they'd gone off track a bit. They were believers, believing in Jesus Christ, and Paul was there like pastor. Then after Paul had, you know, come in, these Jewish legalists, the Judaizers they were called, they came in to try and say, no, Paul was wrong, guys. He got it wrong. Yes, believe in Jesus, but you've got to keep the law of Moses and you've got to be circumcised and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And all these rules and laws which they couldn't keep. And that was the thing they thought was going to save them, was keeping the rules. So we're going to see more on that today. So verse 6 says, just as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteous. So as Paul continues his argument here to the Galatians, he refers back to Genesis in the Old Testament, because these people had the Old Testament, they had the scrolls and the scribes, they knew that. So Paul wants to remind them and going back and saying, hey, what about Abraham? And so we're going to read Genesis chapter 15. So after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram, that was his name before it was Abraham, in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and he said, Look toward the heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. And then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed, this is Abraham, he believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. So while Abraham is a good old, ripe old age, still had no children, past the age of childbearing. His wife Sarah was also past the age of childbearing. And he was discouraged because he had no one to pass down his inheritance to and his wealth. And so God comes to him one night and says, Abraham, don't be discouraged. I'm your shield. I love that. I'm your reward. And Abraham, it does good to me. And Abraham said, well, what does that do for me? Because I've got no one to give my inheritance to. And then God says, come on, come out of your tent. Come and look at the sky. Look up, as we all have to do sometimes when things are going on here. Look up, look to Jesus. We sung about it. Look up into the sky, he said. And, you know, there were no city lights in those days. There were clear skies. They were out in the desert on an amazing night. And God says, Abraham, can you count the stars in the sky? Well, of course, there's billions of galaxies and billions of stars. You can't number them. They're innumerable. But Abraham says, well, no, too many to count. And God says, well, that's how many descendants you're going to have, Abraham. Abraham probably thought, well, does he know how old I am? Does he know how old my wife is? This is crazy. But he didn't say any of that. He didn't say, God, what? How the heck's that going to happen? You know? No, he didn't. He just believed God. He just believed God. And this is the first time in the Bible that we have a reference to faith, because he couldn't see it, could he? But he believed by faith. And that was God's covenant promise to Abraham. So God gives Abraham this promise. Abraham believed the promise. And God said, I declare you righteous. I declare you righteous right before God. This is a powerful scripture and a clear argument for justification by faith. We are justified by faith. We are made right with God by faith, by believing. And guess what? Abraham was not yet circumcised, and Moses wasn't even on the scene, so there were no Ten Commandments. So this is going way back, because remember, the Judaizers were saying, you've got to keep the law, you've got to become a Jew, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. But when Abraham believed, there was none of that even in place then. So it goes way back, and this is what Paul is reminding them of. So when the Jews, you know, say to them, well, you've got to keep all these commandments or become a Jew to be saved, Paul could argue because Abraham had not yet kept the law, because there wasn't one even given yet. So this is why he's bringing it up now in Galatians. So what God did was, and it's clear in the scripture, that God accounted him for righteousness. And that is the same concept that God justified Abraham by his faith. So the word accounted here is in a Greek word, and it means in a financial situation. So basically, it means that Abraham was bankrupt, or if before we believe, we're bankrupt spiritually. But the moment that we believe, the books change. We're full. We're righteous. We've got God. And Abraham was spiritually bankrupt before God, but as soon as he believed, everything changed. Now, the Jewish people They were proud of their relationship to Abraham, and they boasted in the physical lineage. Stuff going on up there. All good? Yeah. Okay. So they were really proud of that they were Abraham's descendants, and they boasted in that. But unfortunately, they saw it as a guarantee of their salvation, because they were down that lineage. And they would say, "We are the chosen people. We are the sons and the daughters of Abraham." And they simply saw it like that, as a guarantee of their salvation. It'd be like, you know, anyone that you know, your kids or whatever, and they think, "Oh, well, Mum's a Christian and I'm going to be saved too." Well, you can't go in off someone's lineage or their coattails. It's your decision as you become an adult. Now, when John the Baptist came along, just at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he was preaching to the Jewish people, and he was telling them, as he went down to the Jordan River to baptize, he would say, "It's not about your physical lineage, because that will not give you the spiritual life." And he confirms this in Matthew, because these religious leaders had come down to the Jordan to check out what was happening, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And John the Baptist saw right through them, and he called them a brood of vipers, because he said to them, "Change your hearts and show by the way that you live that you have changed. I know what you're thinking," he said to them. "Abraham is your father." Well, he says, "Oh, that means nothing. That means nothing to me." And so Paul is really trying to convince these Galatians that salvation doesn't come by hanging on to your ancestors' coattails. There is only one way for men to be saved, whether it be the Old Testament or the New Testament. And, you know, Christians mistakenly have thought, well, in the Old Testament they got to heaven by keeping the law, and now that Jesus comes, we get to heaven by believing in him. But no, all the law did was to condemn you and to show you your sin. It could never save anyone by keeping the law. So whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, whether it's a Jew or a Gentile, there is only one way to be saved, and that is believing God's promise for us. God sent his son to die on the cross, and he promised that our sins would be forgiven if we trusted in him. And so what do? We believe in him. How? By faith. And what does he do? He accounts us righteous. He declares us righteous. Righteous because of him. It's just that easy. And this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it centres around the finished work on the cross and believing in God's promise. And I believe that Abraham realised the helplessness of his own condition. Have you ever got to that place where you just know you've tried to do things your own way, you've tried to lift yourself, you've tried to whatever, and you've got to the place that you realise that you're helpless and you cry out to God, and he is there, he is right there waiting. So remember, all this law, Abraham was not yet circumcised, but he believed in God, and the results were that he was declared righteous just because he believed. So Paul uses him as an example. Verse 7 says, and this is back to Galatians, "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham." So the way to become that child of Abraham is by believing in God and trusting in his promise. And he says the children of faith, they are the children of Abraham, not by becoming a Jew or keeping the law. Verse 8. "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you all the nations be blessed.'" The word foreseeing in this scripture is God prophesying, speaking the future, that he would do something. He would do something amazing. He would send his son and we would be justified, and the Gentiles were justified through faith. So it's faith that we need, faith that we believe in. This also, every scripture here pretty much goes back to the Old Testament. And again, this one does too. We're going to look at Genesis 12:3. God says here, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Isn't it good to know we're in the lineage of being blessed if we walk in that? And this was a part of the covenant that God made with Abraham, and it's called the Abrahamic covenant and part of the promises of God. And he also said, Abraham, in you, and he specified in you being singular, but the same Holy Spirit that inspired in the Old Testament and the covenant that God made with Abraham inspired in the New Testament. It's all related. And the Apostle Paul points out that it is the singular seed, which is Christ, and all the nations will be blessed. That's a good thing. So don't misunderstand me. It's not saying because God sent his son that everyone will be saved, that all nations will be saved, or everyone's going to heaven. The Bible doesn't teach that. What he's teaching is that whatever nation you are from, whether you are Jew or Gentile, in the context here, you can be right before God and you can be justified before God. And like Abraham, by simply believing in God, his promise, that the promise would be fulfilled in his seed, which is Jesus. And those who believed in him would be declared righteous or be justified. And in verse 9, Paul summarizes this when he says, so then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So I guess you could say, well, how are we blessed? And the simple answer is, in the light of the book of Galatians that we're reading, we are justified and we are sanctified because he has given to us his Holy Spirit. And we're blessed simply because of that. We are justified right before God, and he has given us his Holy Spirit. What more could we want for this life? The things we need, faith in God and his promises. And we stand in that. And when you can't see it happening, I love the song that says, even when I can't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. He's always working. He never stops working on our behalf. So you mightn't see things, but by faith we stand and we believe his promises. Because God is a good God. We have a devil, Satan, who wants to rob and steal and destroy us. But God is good. Anything that is bad does not come from God. It comes from the enemy. God is good. He does not put sickness on people. All that comes from a fallen world and from the devil, who's actually the god of this world at the moment until Jesus returns. And so we're going to continue next week, and we're going to read that Jesus has redeemed us from the curse, because there was a curse. There was a curse, but Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. And we're going to learn about that next week. And so I'll finish that there.